While you do that, I'm going to play you this.
Yes, me friend, me friend, them set me free again. Yes, me friend, me friend, me deep on the street again. The bars could not hold me, force could not control me now. They tried to keep me down, but God got to turn me loose. Don't try to hold me up on this bridge now. I've got to reach Mount Zion, the highest ridge, y'all. If you are bull buckle, let me tell you that I'm a dopey conqueror, conqueror. Yes, me friend, me good friend, them set me free again. Yes, me friend, them turn me loose again. Don't try to hold me up on this bridge now. I've got to reach Mount Zion, the highest ridge, y'all. If you a bull buckle, let me tell you, I'm a dopey conqueror. Did it
conqueror? Yes,
me friend, me friend, me friend, me friend. We did a street job. Yes, me friend, me friend, me friend, them set me free again. Don't try to show off, we make you friend them love. What a la la, for I will cut you off.
I haven't heard that piece of music for a long time, and what an absolute classic. The Wailers, Bob Marley and the Wailers, of course, and Duppy Conqueror. And the reason for playing it, apart from the fact that it's a great piece of reggae, and we play a great piece of reggae every day, is because it's also the title of an exhibition called The Duppy Conqueror and Other Works, and it's by an artist who's here with us now. He's Faisal Abdallah. He's associate, I'll give him his full title, Associate Professor of Art and Faculty Director of UW Madison's Creative Arts Community. But he's one of ours. He's a London boy and he's an artist and he's here with us now. Well, Faisal, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me, Rob. Thank you.
First of all, let's talk about the Duppy Conqueror himself. Describe the piece.
So Duppy Conqueror is a series of three tapestries.
We're talking tapestries.
Yeah,
that's
absolutely. Yeah, and funny enough, they're kind of fabricated in Belgium. In Belgium, via Magnolia Editions, California. And the subject is me. It's a self-portrait of myself, and it's my kind of alter ego called the Duppy Conqueror. And it's this kind of individual who is a shapeshifter and kind of conquers evil spirits. So those three pieces appear amongst other tapestries in that show that I made in 2012, which is The Last Supper 1 and Last Supper 2, which are portraits of friends of mine from the 90s in London. And their consciousness is documented in that medium. Because
why tapestry? Why that medium? Because how did they start? They started out as photographs, didn't
they? Yeah. So in 2010, when I had my solo show in Spain, the curator, Barbara Martinez Ruiz, asked me, have I made any tapestries of The Last Supper, like other versions, like director's cuts? So we went through all the negatives that me and Kofi Allen shot in 1996, and he picked out these two images that were never, ever published. And he felt that the process or the medium had the capacity to historicize and talk about these subjects and the ideas in a much more profound way. And then we presented it to Magnolia, who then fabricated it and produced these huge semi-photographic tapestries.
What scale are we talking?
I mean, they're roughly, I think my measurements aren't good. I'm an artist. I mean, sure. They're roughly about 5 meters by about 3 meters.
Big.
I mean, they're huge. And when you're in the presence of them, you do feel a sense of reverie, and you do feel a sense of kind of history.
And is this partly about exalting the ordinary into the extraordinary, the everyday into the mythic, if you like?
Oh, yeah. I think what it does, it questions the whole idea of history. You know, we're kind of told that. Yeah, you know, the history of the world and the history of us is told through painting.
Yeah.
You know, and sometimes there's an absence.
And it's usually paintings of the rich people and the important people.
Yeah, and a certain type of people.
Yeah.
And for me, what these works do, they kind of open up that kind of spectrum where you can see a much more youthful and a much more kind of contemporary and, I think, relevant collective or community.
So that's part of the exhibition. There's also some other gold work.
Sure. So when you go upstairs in the show, there are three kind of objects, new pieces that I've made. One is a portrait called Arthur Kossuth, which is a triptych, which has three portraits of my photograph of me, a photo etching of me, and a gold-plated head of me. And then there is a barber clipper, which is gold-plated in 24-karat gold.
Why a barber's clippers?
Because when I was a student at the Central St. Martins, I went to the US, and I learned to cut hair. And when I came back, I carried on cutting hair so I wouldn't have a student debt. And when I got onto my MA, I carried on cutting and incorporating those ideas in the barber social space into my work. And as I graduated, I carried on cutting hair.
Do you still cut hair?
I've got a salon in London and it functions.
Are you serious?
Yeah, but I'm not there. But we cut all the footballers, the actors and stuff. But I began to utilize the barbershop as that social space, as a space where I was actually taught, you know, as a young person growing up.
Particularly from an Afro-Caribbean community, the barbershop has always played a very unique place in there.
I mean, it's the first institute of learning. You know, they talk about schools, but for me, as a six-year-old kid, going to these young guys' homes in Willesden, and the barber chairs were in their homes, and the elders were sitting around playing dominoes, drinking Carlsberg, and I would learn about Jamaica because I'd never been there. I was born and raised in London. So that was my first institute of learning. And sitting in that barber chair was almost like sitting on a throne. And the barber would like hold court and talk about, you know, social issues. So in the exhibition is a gold-plated 24-karat barber chair. It is the most amazing spectacle that I think I've seen in a long time, even though I made it myself.
If you say so yourself.
Even if I say so myself.
You also did some work with kind of London villains, didn't you?
Yeah, in 2007, I did a project called Goldfinger, where I followed the British Mafia for best part of 4 years.
Wow.
And they put me in their circle, showed me a lot of love and respect. And I learned about circles of loyalty. You know, there's all this stuff and bravado about who they are and what they are. But I produced a series of 11 portraits that spoke about their kind of circle of loyalty, and they were screen printed onto 24-karat gold.
And yet you're dealing with bad people here.
I mean, the term bad is a very, you know, debatable thing. I kind of saw them for one institute of kind of consciousness. And I felt that, you know, in every country, every place you go to, there are different circles. And I wanted to tap into that circle because I was very curious as to how they built relationships, how they functioned.
How hard was it for an artist to be kind of allowed into that sort of world?
My way in was through the barbershop.
Really?
You know, I was cutting somebody's hair who used to do a bit of door work. And he gave me the introduction to Joey Pyle, who was the best man at the Craze wedding.
Right.
And I met him for like half an hour.
Do you know, I mean, I have a story about that. I remember a long, long time ago, kind of bit of a young man about town, thought, well, I better go and get shaved at Trumpers, you know, one of the sort of, you know, go and get a proper shave. And, and first time I'm sitting there and I'm talking to the old guy who's got the razor at my throat. And he says, do you know, he said, I used to go out to the twins' house every day to shave them. Now, you imagine that as a job, you know?
Like, yeah. No, I think.
And there's always been that relationship as well, hasn't there? Barbers and villains and all of that sort of stuff.
But I think the capacity for transformation, and that's why the chair is in gold, that once you sit in that chair, there's a relationship between you and the barber, and you come in the hope that they will make you your best.
Where can people see all these works? Where is it?
So the show is at Rivington Place, which is in Shoreditch. And yep. It's the building that was designed by David Adjaye, who's now designed the Museum of African American Art. It's an amazing building.
I've been there. It is a fantastic space.
Yeah, and it's in it's at Rivington Place, and it's hosted by Autograph, Association of Black Photographers, curated by Dr. Mark Seeley, MBE, and it's over two floors. And the show is open until April the 14th.
What else are you working on? What are current projects?
So I'm currently also working on a project in Antarctica, where I'm working on to try to
There's not many barbers in it.
There aren't many barbers. There aren't many people there, actually. So I'm trying to find the first person that was born in Antarctica and then create a kind of a squad project to get that person to select their 10 most trusted people. And the next project I'm actually doing is going to be a show in Camberwell, which works with the communities. I'm going to get the community to develop a show at the Camberwell Gallery, Art Gallery. And that will be sometime in March.
But the current show, which is The Duppy Conqueror and Other Works by Faisal Abdoola, is on at
Rivington Place in Shoreditch.
Faisal, thank you very, very much.
Thank you very much.